Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And we're back for another edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
So, how has your, not even a whole week, feels like we were just here. How was your last 5 days?
Yeah, it did go by fast. Not too bad. Work, still work. Worked a wedding on Saturday. Had a nice, relaxing day yesterday, which was a lot of fun. So,
that's good.
I got to thinking, so I know I've told you this, and I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show, but over the past like couple of months, I've really been getting into lo-fi remixes of video game soundtracks.
Oh, yeah?
It's kind of like a chill hip-hop kind of vibe.
That's cool.
And I've just been randomly searching for different franchises to see like if they have like a remix version. Like, people make some really good remixes on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I found a Banjo-Kazooie one. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't played Banjo-Kazooie in a while, so that's what I did the majority of yesterday, was nice. Play Banjo-Kazooie.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Been playing what anything? Playing anything new or old?
I'm going to get the new Sonic game probably sometime this week or maybe early next week. And then the week after that is when the Mario RPG remake comes out, which I'm hearing nothing but amazing things about.
Yeah.
I've watched some gameplay of it. It looks really, really good. Like, I haven't been this excited for like a remade game in a long time.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick it up too when it comes out. There's a bunch of stuff I want to get right now. I just don't have the money to get or the time to play anything. So
yeah, that's where I'm at too.
And all so how I've was your week? It's pretty good. I've just been playing Haunted House, what I'm reviewing tonight. That game is hard. I mean, it's enjoyable. We'll talk about it in a little while. But man, those roguelike games are, you got to get used to dying a lot playing those games.
I've heard stories. I've never played one, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I picked up some cool VHS tapes the other day. I got the... remember the old Flash series from like 1990 or 91, early 90s that came out?
It with John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah, I found a VHS tape with the very first episode on it.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, oh, I need this for the collection.
Where'd you find it? Just at a thrift store?
Yeah, it was at the thrift store. It was in really good shape, too, so that was a really good find.
Nice. Yeah, that's... I've watched bits and pieces of that show, but, I mean, you know, John Wesley Shipp is known for being the Flash and also has Mark Hamill as the Trickster. Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole series when I was a kid, and then it just sort of died and disappeared for decades until... You know, the new Flash series came out, and then they brought John Wesley Shipp back, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I remember I went back and watched that old TV series not too long ago, maybe a couple years ago. I don't know if it holds up all that well, but, you know, we did what we had to do back in the 90s.
Yeah, you got to take stuff for what it is as far as like when it was made and the limitations of technology at the time.
Yeah, and the thing is the suit looked really cool back then when on just regular TV, but then you see it in HD and you're like, oh, that thing's not as cool looking as it did back then.
I'm telling you, there are a lot of movies that I don't know if they should have gotten the HD treatment.
Yeah, they were. I don't think they were thinking HD back in the day.
No, they were not. It's some of those are rough. There are some movies like, you know, you can watch Jurassic Park in HD and it still looks good.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 still looks good. The Abyss still looks good.
I mean, even Batman 89 still looks pretty good, even though you can kind of see more of the detail in the suit. Like we were pointing out, look, those are Nikes, you know, stuff like that.
Or whenever the Joker shoots the Batwing down, you could tell that the city is a model.
That's the thing that hurts the most when you go back and look at older movies when they use miniatures. You can really tell in HD.
Yeah, no more masking it, nope. Unfortunately.
As I say all the time in our commentary tracks, damn HD.
I know, right?
But
that should be our next shirt.
Actually, coming up this month, maybe next week, do you want to go ahead and do the top five next week for this month? That way you give us a little bit more time to play some games to review.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was actually, when I was at work today, I was thinking about, you know, when we were going to do the next top five. So, yeah, I'm good for doing it next week.
Awesome. So so what we're going to do is you heard it here first, and you can go to our Discord, join our Discord, and go to the top five. Tab we have there, put your top fives in there. You can send them to us on Facebook or X or Twitter, whatever he's calling it these days. Just send us your top five most replayable games, the games you have played the most throughout your life. And this should be quite interesting because I have way more than five. I don't know how I'm going to whittle it down to five.
I know my top two. From there, it'll be kind of tough.
I know what
as far as narrowing it down.
I know what my absolute number one is, but going from two to five is going to be tough.
No one will be surprised at my top two.
Yeah,
I'll say that, but it'll be a fun list. I'm always curious to see, you know, what everybody else's list is, as far as, you know, like what you played back then more than anything else.
And I was also thinking maybe for December, the top five, what if we do something like, you know, I know not everybody celebrates Christmas, but, you know, we got Jewish listeners and stuff like Hanukkah. But I was thinking like we could do like top five best holiday gift moments. Like it doesn't have to be retro games, but just like the best gifts you ever got as a kid.
Yeah, I love that.
So because I got quite a few I want to throw on a top five list, because I really want to get into the Christmas spirit this year, because Halloween was ruined for me because of the month of November, so I really want to get into Christmas this year.
In addition to that, we should do a commentary track for Die Hard.
Oh, Joey says in the chat room, the Smart TV YouTube app is about a minute and a half behind the website. It means every time he comments, it's like 2 minutes behind the show. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I have it on the lowest latency you could put it on in OBS. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that.
Oh, who knows with those smart TVs?
Who knows? But yeah, that might be a good top five to do in December. So I think we should do that. I think that would be a good one to do.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
But I think it's time to go into the news. What do you say?
Let's do it.
This Some of tonight's stories were submitted to us by Armez Jackson and Mr. Mike Evelyn. And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And yes, Joey, for your top five, WoW does count, even though it doesn't end. It's still going on. I mean, it's replayable. I mean, you keep playing it all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
For years. The first story tonight comes from NintendoLife.com. The mysterious Murasame Castle. And the mystery is why this took so long to be released outside Japan. Let's see. It was not originally released outside Japan. Chances are that longtime Nintendo fans in the West have noticed nostalgic references to this unfamiliar title over the years. Takamura's Ninja Castle in Nintendo Land, Murasame Castle Mode in Samurai Warriors 3, or perhaps some music in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. All of these, as well as some more in other games, are references to this very Famicom Disk System game from 1986. Mysterious Murasame Castle, a literal translation of its original Japanese title, Nazo no Murasame Ju, puts you in the shoes of Takamura, a samurai apprentice who has to defeat both alien creatures that have taken over the titular castle and the daimyos of the neighboring castles that were corrupted by said alien's power. Let's see, this is a kind of long article. I'm just going to give the meat here. Although it is a blood relative, for an 8-bit game in the mid-80s, it is fairly impressive in the audio-visual department thanks to the fact that it was on Famicom disc rather than being a cart-based game. Let's see, is it coming to... I think it's supposed to be on the Switch, but I'm not looking where it says it was officially released on the Switch.
I don't know that it actually says it.
Huh.
Because I'm not seeing it. Yeah, but
Armez sent us this, and I was looking at it, I was like, this looks like a really cool game. If it's on the Switch, I might pick it up, but I'm not seeing where it's available on the Switch.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's available. Oh, it says here, we're updating and republishing it to mark the game's arrival in the Nintendo Switch Online NES library.
Okay. Yeah, so they're dropping it in there. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it is available.
Yeah,
it says that'd be an interesting one to review, and that's the great thing about the Switch and really modern, this is going to sound like an oxymoron, but modern retro gaming, because you can release games that were never published outside of Japan or outside the US. So this is really cool. The story sounds interesting. A samurai apprentice that has to fight an alien.
Because it says the mysterious castle is more like a linear action oriented version of the original Legend of Zelda. It even uses the same engine, much like Kid Icarus and Metroid were sibling projects that shared the same technical framework. Although there are only 5 stages, each consists of 2 sections, one indoors and one outdoors, with each inside section ending with a boss fight, except for the final stage, which has a boss in both sections.
I think I'll check this out, because the screen caps do remind me of the original Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe with a little bit more detail in it, but very similar.
Yeah, it still has that early Nintendo game look to it. Like, there's not a whole lot of detail in everything, but it definitely has that early Nintendo black box look to it.
Oh, absolutely.
So that'll be interesting once that drops. I might... maybe we could do a dual review of it or something. But I'm definitely going to play it when it comes out.
Yeah, for sure. This next story comes to us from PCMag.com. Microsoft appears to block unofficial third-party accessories on Xbox. A recent Xbox update may include a mechanism to block third-party controllers. Earlier this month, several Xbox users reported seeing a mysterious error message that says their third-party controller is an unauthorized accessory. This means one of the accessories you're trying to connect was not manufactured by Microsoft or another licensed Xbox hardware partner, the message reads. It then says the user will only have 2 weeks to use the accessory before Microsoft blocks access. I would be livid if I bought a controller or something and then it's like, oh, you can't use it.
So
that's...
I mean, what is really the intent behind this? Is this, I mean, so you only can use Microsoft branded controllers on the Xbox Series X and S?
Maybe so.
I mean, what?
There was a tweet sent out by Brook Gaming, which is the manufacturer that this article is talking about. It's a Chinese manufacturer of third-party controllers. This was sent out on October 20th, and I'll just paraphrase it here. Dear gamers, we extend our heartfelt appreciation for your unwavering support and interest in Brook. We find it necessary to share crucial information with you regarding our Xbox console-related products, which may encounter functional disruptions in the near future. And then it lists six different products of theirs that will be affected. It says here they are fully committed to developing a solution to maintain product quality and functionality. So this will be interesting to follow. But yeah, if they're not able to be used, there's going to be a lot of unhappy people.
Yeah, I mean, how did this work in the past with like Mad Catz and stuff like that? Because they were a third party controller. I mean, is 8-bit do or 8-bit do controllers going to get bricked as well? Because that sucks.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to look into. I just don't understand the point. Like, I get Microsoft will want people to use their products, but they're so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. Branded Microsoft controllers are not cheap. And if you can only afford to get a third party and then it's not going to work, like, what? That's like a Nintendo move, man. Like, what are you doing, Microsoft?
I don't know. This is kind of a jerk move.
Yeah.
This is like a high school bully move.
It is.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of it either. I mean, maybe they're trying to crack down on cheaters or something, but what's to stop them from using them on PCs?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're just, I don't know. This is just weird. This is a weird decision by Microsoft.
I don't like it.
And from Nintendo, also from NintendoLife.com, Wario's new voice actor confirms role on social media. Unsurprisingly, he's also the new voice of Mario and Luigi. Well, if you weren't already convinced, the new Mario and Luigi actor Kevin Afghani has now confirmed he's also the voice of Wario. In a brief update on social media, he did a little Wario roleplay while mentioning he was going back to play the game he's in, WarioWare Move It on Switch. Let's see. This quick update follows a glimpse of the credits in the new WarioWare earlier this week, which places Afghani at the very top of the voice page. As you can see, it's already got some Nintendo fans on social media speculate if he'll be handling the voice of Waluigi as well. Let's see, he replaced Charles Martinet, blah, blah, blah. And before Mario and Wario, one of Afghani's most famous roles was Arnold in Genshin Impact. And he's appeared in both the new WarioWare and Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Nintendo has already confirmed the re-release of Luigi's Mansion 2, which will include Charles Martinet when it arrives in 2024.
Sounds like he's going to be quite busy.
A little bit.
If he's voicing... I mean, you know, Martinet did the same thing, so I think it's cool that they're getting like a multifaceted actor to play these roles.
Yeah.
I think it'll help with, you know, the transition. It'll seem a little bit more seamless. There won't be like this jarring, you know, noticeable change.
Yeah.
So this is cool.
I just hope this guy turns out to be a good human being like Charles Martinet is and was, and we don't find out like a year or two from now this guy's not actually just a big scumbag like behind the scenes.
That happens more often than it should. Yeah, you never know. Either way, like for right now, I would say this is definitely really cool.
Yeah,
That's got to be a dream come true for a voice actor.
Oh,
to play not just Mario but Luigi and Wario and probably Waluigi.
Can you imagine like getting that phone call? Like, oh my god.
I'd love to hear an interview with him for him to talk about what happened when he got that phone call, like his reaction.
We should reach out, see if he'll come do an interview for us.
Hey, only one way to find out if he will.
Yeah.
And finally, from TheVerge.com, Atari is buying the developer behind its excellent 50th anniversary retro compilation. Atari is acquiring Digital Eclipse, a studio that specializes in preserving and re-releasing retro games on modern hardware. The releases are often rich in additional materials and historical content. think the Criterion Collection, but for video games. In a press release, Atari says it's paying up to $20 million for the studio, including an initial $6.5 million paid in a combination of cash and shares, and a further $13.5 million, which is due to be paid in cash over the next decade, subject to Digital Eclipse's performance. It expects to complete the deal in the coming days. They worked together on last year's Atari 50, the anniversary celebration, which included ports of over 90 classic games, as well as unreleased prototypes and neat extras like short documentaries and old photos and magazine articles. But they've also produced games like the Cowabunga Collection and the interactive documentary, The Making of Karateka. This, I think, is a very smart move by Atari. And I haven't played the Atari Collection, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. I think the additional material, like, you know, the prototypes and documentaries, is really smart to put in any type of a collection. I think this is a smart business move.
This is the smartest move Atari has made in like 20 years, because think of all the crap they've been involved with over the last 5-10 years, with like that weird hotel thing they were talking about doing, and then they were getting into like not Bitcoin, but coming up with their own like cryptocurrency, and then doing that weird VCS thing, like trying to make a modern console, but not really. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, just make games. Just be a game company. It's worked well for Sega since, you know, for the past 20 years. Just be a game company. Even if it's just making new versions of old Atari games, like, that's what people want. That's what you need to do.
And I think, you know, it shows that Atari is more aware than we give them credit for, because Digital Eclipse made such a good collection that why would you not want them essentially, you know, in-house for any future projects?
And Joey said the Atari 50 is only 30. Does it say 30?
$30 on PS5.
On PS5. That's not bad, actually. I still need to get a copy of it. I every time I see it, I'm tempted to get it, but then I'm like, I'll just wait on this, and I don't get it. I just need to go ahead and get it.
Yeah, me too. I'm not really familiar with Atari's library as much as, you know, you and probably most of our listeners. But, you know, $30 is a reasonable price, so I need to pick it up too.
But like I said, this is the smartest move Atari has made in a long time. So I'm hoping that Atari has some plan for their future to just make games, like Konami. Like, come on, Konami, just make games. That's what we need you to do.
I'll say this: you don't see Chick-fil-A making hamburgers.
Yeah, exactly. Stop trying to make weird hotels and stop trying to get into cryptocurrency. Just stop. Just make damn games, damn it.
Now that I say that, I'm gonna expect Chick-fil-A to come out with some kind of burger, and I'm just gonna no, that won't happen.
And then they'll come
but
out
no with, this is really cool,
with a chick coin, you know, for every purchase you get a chick coin. Before we go into this month in video game history, we want to tell you guys about our mobile game partner, Globe Glider. And if you like action adventure platformers, and we know you do, Globe Glider is for you. Make a donation to the game using our partnership is quick and easy. Just simply hit the donate button and select Nerd Cave Retro as your referral partner to unlock sweet in-game prizes like an exclusive Nerd Cave Retro cape. So download Globe Glider now on the App Store or Google Play.
And who doesn't want an exclusive?
Yeah, it's an exclusive Nerd Cave Retro cape, so go get it. Go get it right. The game's free to download, free to play, but, you know, you can donate to the game.
That just sounds so cool. Exclusive cape.
Yeah, we have our own video game cape, Derek. That's awesome.
It is.
But now it is time for this month in video game history. Let's go don our capes and we'll dive into history. On November 25th of 1991, SNK releases Fatal Fury King of Fighters for the Neo Geo. I wanted a Neo Geo so bad when I was a kid. I used to see the advertisement for the Neo Geo in the back of like the video game magazines and stuff. And that Neo Geos were like $800, $1,000 back then. Like, that's insane.
That is insane. You want to see even more insane? Neo Geo games were available on the Wii Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that, but they had games like, they had Neo Geo, they had TurboGrafx, they had Sega Genesis and the Master System.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that virtual console was insane. And I don't know what happened with Nintendo. I've never played a Neo Geo game. I wish the Wii Virtual Console was still active, because I still have all my, you know, I have the Wii console. I have, you know, everything that I ever got for it. It'd be cool to go back and get some of those Neo Geo games.
Yeah, whoever they fired or got rid of that curated the what was it called? The
Virtual Console.
The Virtual Console. They need to just hire him back, or her, hire them back, and get rid of whoever is running the online shop now, because that online shop is abysmal. It's an embarrassment, yeah, is what it is.
I looked through it yesterday, and I'm like, this is still such a joke.
It's awful.
I don't get it. November of 1994, Game Zero magazine drops their print format and becomes the first video game news magazine on the web, which is crazy, because the internet, like, it was around, but I feel like it didn't really become big until like 97, 98.
Yeah, and God forbid you had any pictures on there that it took, you know, 3 hours to download, like, you know, just a simple little JPEG.
Then you'd have to save them to your floppy disk.
Yeah.
And to put that in perspective, just last year is when Entertainment Weekly switched from print to exclusively online. But Game Zero did it in 1994.
I know. They were way ahead of the curve.
That's maybe a little too far ahead of the curve.
Yeah, maybe a little
bit.
But that
was mind-blowing to me.
Mm-hmm.
To think that, like, there's still print magazines, but this one was like, you know what? We think this internet's going to be something one day.
Yeah, like you said, it might have been a little bit too ahead of the times. Let's see. November 22nd of 1999, Rare releases Donkey Kong 64 for the Nintendo 64 in North America.
One of the most underrated games for the Nintendo 64. It gets a lot of flack for it being a collect-a-thon type game, and it is excessive, but I think the gameplay is fun. I love the Donkey Kong universe. It introduces some cool characters. I think it's one of the better Donkey Kong games, personally, and one of Rare's better games.
Ah, Rare. Where have you gone? Please come back.
I was listening to the Banjo-Tooie soundtrack also, and there's like a... In Banjo-Kazooie, the main hub world is called Spiral Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a sad version of the song that was made for Banjo-Tooie, because the area gets pretty screwed up. And someone commented on the YouTube video, this is what plays through Rare's office these days. And I'm like, yeah. They were on the mountaintop of game development. They were right there with Nintendo and Sega.
Yep.
But what could have been?
Yep.
But finally, for this month in video game history, on November 12th of 2002, Sega and Sonic Team release the Sonic Mega Collection for the GameCube in North America, which is still to this day the definitive Sonic compilation. It included not just Genesis games, but also had a good portion of the Game Gear games, had some other Sega properties that you could get. Like, if you would do certain objectives, you would unlock, like, Vector Man or Rystar. Mm-hmm. So those were included as well. Really, really fun compilation. I still have my copy to this day.
Oh, yeah? That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish I could find one, but it's hard to find GameCube games for cheap these days. They're starting to get expensive.
Yeah, I haven't been to any of the retro stores in town here in a while. I need to change that, because there's a couple of things I want to pick up. I'm just afraid of how much they're going to be.
Yeah, GameCube games have really shot up over the last couple of years, ever since the pandemic, really. And then I guess all the kids that grew up with a GameCube and people that had the GameCube and then got rid of it and then realized that it was awesome and they want to re-get all that stuff again. Like, man, those prices really started to shoot up.
Yeah, maybe they'll go back down eventually. It's going to be crazy when things like the Wii are considered to be retro.
We're not far from it, man.
I know.
Really? A couple of years.
2026.
Don't remind me. That's too close. But before we go into the review tonight, Derek, you want to do our Patreon shout-outs? We have a new patron that we need to add to the list.
Yep, absolutely. We want to shout out our awesome patrons, as always, over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. First up, we want to shout out our newest patron, Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife. So thank you for joining the Patreon family.
And welcome.
We also want to shout out James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on Discord, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, AxeBlade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the Rampage! Steph Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Joey Image, and of course, Mama Diamond herself,
Mama Diamond.
Donna Diamond. Thank you. Thank you all so much for your continued contributions in keeping the lights on for us here at the show. For as little as $1 a month, you get early access to our fun bonus episodes, which for the most part are commentary tracks. Like for October, we watched the original Scream movie. We've also watched Transformers the movie, Batman 89, animated shows like Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, The Real Ghostbusters. We haven't done a Real Ghostbusters commentary in a long time.
Oh, we need to rectify that, because I love those. I think Ghostbusters, other than Looney Tunes, is probably my favorite cartoons of all time.
I respect that. Yeah, those are among the most fun commentary tracks we do. So yeah, we should definitely rectify that. But the list is near endless on what we've done. So if you want to be a part of our Patreon family for as little as $1 a month, head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Facebook, Twitter/X, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And tonight, I will be talking about Haunted House by Atari is a reimagining of the classic Atari adventure, of course, Haunted House. You take control of Lynn Graves, a precocious niece of legendary treasure hunter Zachary Graves. Lynn visits her uncle's mansion with her closest compatriots, only to find the house overrun with ghouls and monsters who quickly grab and spirit away her friends. In order to free her uncle and her friends and capture all the supernatural foes, Lynn must find the shattered pieces of a magical urn and put them back together. Procedurally generated room layout, shifting walls, unpredictable enemy placements, and unique ghostly encounters, Lynn must creep, sneak, and dash her way through hordes of ghouls and eerie ectoplasms in order to locate her friends and uncle. And this is a game I picked up as soon as I saw the trailer for it, which is where I got that music from, was the trailer for the game. I saw it a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, oh my God, I want to play this so bad, because I never had the original Haunted House, but my cousin did, and we used to swap games back and forth when I was a kid for the Atari. And I remember there was this one time I stayed at their house for like 2 weeks because my mom had like major surgery when I was a kid. So we played a ton of Atari when I was over there. And I remember Haunted House was one of the ones we played a lot. And the original Haunted House came out in 1982. Was programmed by James Andreessen for the Atari 2600. The player controls an avatar shaped like a pair of eyes who explores a mansion, seeking out parts of an urn to return to the entrance. It's populated by roaming enemies, including vampire bats, tarantulas, and ghosts, and was among the first games to use player-controlled scrolling between large portions of visual space. And the reason I like this original Atari game, I didn't get to play it a whole lot, but they really did a lot with created an atmosphere in that game. As simple as those Atari 2600 games were, they did a lot to create atmosphere. And it played a lot like Adventure. Did you ever play Adventure for the Atari 2600?
I did not, but I've watched some gameplay of it.
It's one of the few Atari games where it has an actual ending to it, where like you can actually finish the game. It's not like it's not like Pac-Man or, you know, Donkey Kong, where you just sort of keep playing until the game eventually just bricks. You know, it just glitches out, and that's the ending of those games. Like, no, this one, these had actual like things to do in the game, and you could actually experience an end to the game. But that really intrigued me as soon as I saw the trailer for this new remake. And you know, I know this is not a retro game. I know Wally's going to say, oh, it's not a retro game. Like, I have done indie games before, and even though this is not an indie game, this is a remake of a classic game, much like Resident Evil 2. And if you like games that are it's a roguelite type of game, which means you're going to die a lot. It's basically you make a run through the mansion, get as far as you can get, and if you die, then you start back at the beginning and you make a run again. It's one of those games that if you like that kind of game loop, like especially if you're a fan of something like Hades, this is right up your alley.
What's interesting and really more fascinating than anything is looking at the gameplay from the original. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you play as just a pair of eyes.
Yeah.
And then you see the remake, which looks like an animated movie.
Yes.
That would be made like, you know, with like that modern animation style.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. And I haven't played the remake, but I watched some gameplay of it over the weekend, and it looks like a blast.
Yeah, that's the first thing I put in my notes here. I love the mood that the game sets. It's very stylized and cartoony. And by that, I mean it's like playing a Pixar movie or something, you know, something like Monster House or, you know, Paranorman or something along those. Like, it's that style, like the Addams Family. It's very much in that vein. Like, I could actually see them making a movie out of this. Like, it's got a good you know, the main characters don't really talk or anything. Like, there's no voice in the game. It's all like text. Yeah, but at the same time, like, I love the mood that this game sets, and it would make a pretty cool animated movie, I would think.
And the cutscenes too, how they have that animated look, but the characters don't really move all that much. So it's almost mm-hmm. like a storybook.
Yes.
In a way. And you probably never played Sonic and the Secret Rings for the Wii, but in that game, Sonic is transported into the Arabian Nights story. And the way the cutscenes play out are very similar to that. Like, they're animated different, but they play out kind of the same, where there's like text and just like subtle movements that happen every few seconds. I really like that style of cutscene.
And the way you go through the game, of course, it's like that Hades or, you know, the roguelite type thing where you go into the mansion and each room you go into, like you go into a room and the room is locked until you do whatever task it tells you to do in the room. Like, okay, in this room, you have to defeat all the enemies or, you know, this other thing I say, you know, break the ghost chains, which you have this lantern, which is your source of doing damage. And you can go through and you clear out each room and you can do damage with your lantern, like blasting it at ghosts and stuff like that. And it's very weak to start with. Like I've been playing for about 6 or 7 hours now, maybe more than that. Gosh, probably maybe 10, 12 hours now. And I'm just now to where each time you finish a room, a chest will appear and you get gems out of the chest. And each time you die, you go back to the main hall and you can go to this guy who's in a room off to the right and you trade your gems to him for upgrades. Like you upgrade the power of your lantern or you get your stamina and things like that. You can also have like the butler's there when you first wake up. You can also give him gems to spruce up the mansion too, like new carpeting and new plants and things of that, paintings, things of that nature. But that you get these gems and you can upgrade yourself. But I'm just now to level 4 of the lantern, and I'm just now starting to feel like I can actually do some damage with it.
That's curious about the trading gems to the butler to spruce up the mansion. Is that just like something you can do for fun? Or is there like a point to it?
I'm sure there is. I don't know what the point. I mean, I have gotten a couple of things here and there, like new carpets, you know, because the floors are cracking because, you know, the mansion's so old. And, you know, he's like, help me, you know, cover up the, you know, like, help me spruce the place up. I need some new carpets to cover these cracks or whatever, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know what, I mean, I'm sure you get something for it, but I'm not quite sure. But you do go through the mansion and you come across other people. There's another guy in the lobby on the other side of the staircase where you go in there and you collect game cartridges for him. As you go through the mansion, you come across like an Atari cartridge, you grab it, and then once you go back to the lobby, you take it to him. He tells you about the game, like, you know, get the game like Yar's Revenge, and he tells you about, you know, the making of Yar's Revenge, and then he gives you, you know, a butt ton of gems for collecting it for him. And you come across other people that work in the mansion as well, like the maid. You got to collect all of her cats have escaped. So sometimes you'll come across a room where there's a cat running around. And let me tell you, trying to catch those damn cats is aggravating at best because they're so much faster than you are. And then you come across the cook and all of his utensils have been taken, so you get all of his utensils, and you go give them their stuff back for, you know, perks, like gems and things of that nature.
That's so cool about the Atari cartridges. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a meta, you know, like little nod to the audience kind of thing. That's really cool, and I like that there's so much else to do besides just like the main story, like you mentioned, with finding the cats, with finding the utensils. That sounds like it gives it some good like replay value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely one of those games where you just, all right, let me go one more time. All right, let me just go one more. I'll sit there for an hour going, all right, I just die. Like, let me go one more time. It's one of those games that's like, one more go. And then I like that kind of gameplay. The only thing I don't like about it, and I have made this known before, I'm not a fan of stealth, and there's a lot of points in the game where you have to be stealthy. like the first kind of not really boss, but you have to get past like this witch. And it took me forever to get past her because you have to get past her and you can see where they're looking, like wherever the ghosts and stuff are looking. They have like this red, like kind of thing that goes out in front of them and you can see where they're looking. So you have to, you know, cover your lantern and sneak past them so they don't see you. And to get past her, you have to collect three things out of chests and then sneak back out past her so she doesn't see you. And I must have died 50 times before I could finally get past her because I suck at stealth in games. I'm just I'm awful at it. I'm terrible.
I don't really have the patience for stealth games, but it does make sense for a game like this to have some stealth elements to it.
I mean, like I said, it's not all the time. It's just certain rooms you go into.
Yeah. Joey was asking, what system is this remake on?
It is on everything. You can get it on Steam. I'm actually looking at the Steam page right now, and it is... I got it on the Switch. Let's see. It is $19.99 right now on Steam. I think I got it on sale for like, it was like $12.99 or something.
That's not bad at all. Even 20 is not bad.
On the Switch, but it's also available for PS5, and I think it might actually be on Game Pass, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But it's available everywhere. I got it on the Switch because that's where I like to play stuff.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I had a feeling that was where you played it. Yeah. But it's cool that you can play it, you know, really anywhere. Like, games like this should be available on all consoles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just such a fun type of gameplay. And I love, you know, just that kind of going at something over and over again, trying to get further and further. Let's see. So we should gift you a copy. Chuck in the chat room says, so we should gift you a copy of Thief for Christmas and you'll play it on YouTube so we can watch you suffer at stealth play. Dude, I suck so bad. You would not want to watch me play stealth games on YouTube.
The only stealth game that I've really liked is Arkham Asylum.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the only game I've ever liked stealth in.
And I mean, that's just because you're Batman.
Yeah.
And that's a really good game.
But there are some rooms that you come across in here where it's not really, you don't really have to be stealthy. You just have to find a spot where, because it's like there's these rooms you go in and it says stay alive for, you know, a minute or something. And it's just all these enemies just keep popping up and going everywhere. But there are certain spots in the room where you can just cover your lantern and just squat and just like, oh God, don't see me, don't see me, don't see me. And you can sit there for the whole minute, which doesn't seem like a lot. But when you're trying not to die in this room by like a dozen enemies and you're just like, oh my God, that minute is just like slowly ticking down. You're like, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. But that's sometimes, I mean, each room kind of has a different objective. Some of them you gotta, you know, survive for a minute, minute and a half. Other ones you gotta go in and look through chests to find an idol to go and set on the altar in the room. And every time you complete the task of a room, it this huge white light comes out of the altar and just kills everything in the room. So sometimes I'll just run and try to I run in a room and it's like, you know, find the altar, and I'll just run as fast as I can to like all the chests and try to find the altar so I can just run back and go to the thing and put the idol on the altar and just wipe out everything in the room and then just go around collecting all the coins.
Oh, that's fantastic. I've got to play this game. This sounds like a lot of fun. Even though, like you said, you die a lot, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's to the point where it's like you want to keep playing it, mm-hmm. and try to get past, you know, what is impeding your progress. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm nowhere near finishing this game because like it's like Hades. It's one of those games that's just gonna take you forever to finally finish it. But I'm there for the ride. Like, I love what I've played so far of this game. And yeah, it does have some elements that I'm not a fan of, like the stealth and things like that. But that's only such a, that's kind of a small part of the actual gameplay. So I enjoy collecting all the stuff and, you know, the cartridges. I like the RPG elements of upgrading all your stuff, you know, your lantern and making yourself quieter. Like, you walk through, and if you knock, you can easily knock stuff over, which then alerts everything in the room to your, to where you are. You can get things like, you're going through and the chest, and you get things like bunny slippers, which make you walk quietly, things like that. You know, like, I just really like finding all the little things they put in this game that just make it, like, you can tell that they really love the source material and just wanted to make a really cool kind of Halloween themed haunted house game.
What's crazy too is according to the Steam page, this came out really recently.
Yeah, it's
on October 12th of this year.
Yeah, so it hasn't even been out a month yet.
That's amazing. So that, that's really cool. Yeah, I'm gonna have to play this at some point.
Yeah, because I saw the ad for it, the trailer for it a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, holy crap, when is this coming out? And I saw that it was out already. I'm like, oh, I instantly went to the Switch and purchased a copy of it. But I don't think I paid $20 for it. I remember paying like $12.99 or $14.99. I knew it was like, it was a sale or something. Even though it's a new game, I don't remember paying $20 for it.
I was about to say, that's really surprising given that it's a brand new game, that it would be discounted.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was a new game thing or something. I don't know. I might have paid $20, but I don't remember. I don't think I paid that much for it. But even still, it's worth $20.
Yeah, I was going to say $20 for a game like this, as much as you're praising it,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's really that bad.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely spend money on worse. You know, like, this is a very well put together game. And like we said earlier, Atari's made some really good decisions lately, buying up, what was the name of that company they bought?
It was, can we go back to it? Digital Eclipse.
Yeah, buying Digital Eclipse, doing this remake. Like, how many other Atari games could they do this style of remake with? And I hope this does well enough that it shows Atari that there is a market out there for this stuff. I mean, like, people are like, oh, it's a remake. Well, yeah, it's like, it's a remake of a game that was like, like 2-bit. It wasn't even 8-bit. It was like one pixel on the screen, you know, back for the Atari 2600. Like, there are so many games from the Atari library that could get this treatment and get remade into something completely new and modernized.
And Joey echoed what I was about to say. Their next game should be a remake of Adventure.
100%. I am down for that.
They just have to use the soundbite, I think I'm quite ready for another adventure.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the games that, you know, like Space Invaders and River Raid, you know, games like that. Like, that, they could completely do remakes of those games. Of course, Adventure. And there's just Pitfall. Imagine, like, a new version of Pitfall. I'd play it just out of sheer curiosity.
I think a remake of Adventure would really put it over the top, because even those that aren't very familiar with Atari, they know what Adventure is. Like, they've heard of that game before.
Yeah. Oh, and Joey Image says, or a VR version of Asteroids. Like,
that'd
perfect.
Be fun.
Yeah. Or a new version of Defender. Like, Defender was a great game back in the day. Like, they could do a new, all these games could have remakes, and I would be there for it.
I forgot there was a Pitfall for the PS2.
Yeah, they did a couple. They did a Nintendo game, a couple of Nintendo games, some Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, I know one for Super Nintendo, because I think it was called Pitfall: The Mayan Adventures.
Yeah, imagine a new Pitfall game in the style of, like, Uncharted or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm down for it. I mean, but this game, I mean, there's not much more I can heap praise upon it. Like I said, if you're into roguelite type of games like Hades or something like that, it's not the action. You're not going to get the action of Hades. This is more of like a being very methodical of what you're doing. It's not that super fast paced action, but it's the same kind of gameplay. So if you're into that, I say give it a try. Like for me, I mean, this game, it's not perfect, but it gets an 8.5 out of 10.
I think that's a really good score, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I consider 8, 8.5 to be quite good.
It is quite good. I'm very, very taken with this game right now, and I've loved every second I've been in it.
I'm glad we had a good game to close out the 2023 Halloween Horror Series.
Sorry we're 2 weeks behind with getting all of our Halloween episodes out, but, you know, got to do what you got to do.
We got them in, so that's the important thing.
But like we said, that's going to do it for this episode, for this review. And like we said, next week is going to be our top five for November. It's going to be top five most replayable games. And so go submit those to us either email or Discord, Twitter, or Facebook, and we will read them next week. So, Derek, what is going on with the Derek Diamond Experience?
So those that listen to the show, you might be thinking, there wasn't an episode put out today, and that's because the interview I'm doing, we're recording tomorrow. If you're watching live or listening to this the night it comes out, it's a really cool guest. His name's Johnny Gioeli. He's the lead singer of the rock band Crush 40, who wrote a good portion of the music for the modern Sonic the Hedgehog games, like Sonic Adventure, Sonic Adventure 2, and, you know, years beyond that. So he's going to be attending a Sonic, it's like a Sonic convention that was completely crowdfunded, which is really cool. It's going to be in Dallas, Texas this weekend. So he's going to be coming on the show to chat with me tomorrow. And the interview will be up on YouTube and all podcasting platforms probably around like 7 p.m. Central. We're recording the interview at 5. So it'll be out shortly after that. So you can head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast to subscribe to the YouTube channel, podcast, and social media.
Awesome. And as far as the open micers goes, this last week we had Mr. JP Leonard of Lafayette Comedy and Mo Alexander back on the show. And we had quite possibly some of the funniest moments we've ever had on the episode. But I will say, if you are easily offended, please don't listen to the episode, because it goes places. But if you're interested, you want to laugh at just, oh my God, I can't even describe. I almost cracked a rib laughing during that episode. But go check it out. TheOpenMicers.com, at OpenMicers on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, it's I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I promise I will this week. I've been seeing the shorts you've been posting on YouTube, and it's just like whetting the appetite.
There were so many. Like there were so many I could have taken out of that episode. I'm like, all right, I gotta like cap it off at like 5, because if I don't, I'm just gonna upload the entire episode in 50-second clips.
That'd be an interesting way to listen to a podcast.
but that's going to do it for this week. Anything else before we walk out the door?
No, I think that's it. Thanks, everyone, for watching live in the chat and on the download.
And thank you, all you guys in the chat. I love seeing a full chat room. So thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. And I think we're going to go ahead and walk out the door. If you would like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. nerdcaveretro.com is our brand new updated link tree that takes you to all of our socials, our Patreon, and of course our merch shop, which you can get to at nerdsncrmerch.com. And we got t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. You can follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JFunktastic, and at Derek_Diamond. And of course, if you can't support us every month monetarily, please go leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
Up yours with a twirling lawnmower.
Chucker, eh?
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.